Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heck and Dorn.
And I am Jason Jones.
Not Ben Heckendorf. I guess, can people not read the difference between an F and an N?
People call you Heckendorf?
If people get my name wrong, it's always Heckendorf.
Weird.
Sounds like a type of beer.
Is that like Kalish?
But didn't you say you've had people on the phone ask you how to spell your last name?
I have had that happen before, which my mind was kind of blown, but...
What could be easier? Smith?
Smith, maybe? Probably, yeah. That's about it.
I was talking yesterday, we were at Great Dane for lunch, and I was like, I knew this guy once. His name was Guy Man.
Nice.
It's like, you know, if you're like Mr. and Mrs. Man, you made a conscious decision to name your kid Guy Man.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I think they knew what they were doing when they named him.
It couldn't have been an accident. The doctor looks at the birth certificate. He's like, oh, Christ.
At least they weren't, you know, nerdy 80s people. Otherwise, they might have called him He.
He-Man?
Yep.
Or She-Man. That'd be even worse.
Oh, gee.
That'd be very confusing for a young kid.
Yes.
So anyway.
Might not come back from that.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about a few topics.
We are?
I guess.
Oh, okay.
It's a nice sunny day, so we're sitting inside recording into computers.
We have the garage door open, though, at least. So
yeah.
We can see daylight.
Yeah, there's actually very few people here, so everyone must be out doing things in the sunshine.
Yeah, usually there's some activity going on out there, but
yeah, it makes me feel good, like I'm not the only person who comes in and works on weekends. Anyway, so our topics today, one of them is Microsoft Surface products. This one just came out of the blue because we were talking about it.
Yeah, about 30 seconds before we started recording. And but Ben's like, we should talk about that as a topic.
Yeah, why not? So recently got a, what, Surface Pro 4. Ah, and I have a Surface Book. And Felix has a, I think it's a Surface Pro 3 Core M.
Okay.
So our office is starting to look like a Microsoft commercial.
Good.
Yeah, so yeah, I think it might be fun to just talk about those and, you know, how that probably is a better space for Microsoft to get into than phones. Jones, some of you may know, he's like one of the 8 Windows phone owners.
I thought you got into double digits.
16, yeah, you're
okay,
right,
16. Nice. So
okay,
we're kind of like Wii U owners, I think. It's like the people that have them love them. It's just not many people bought them.
Yeah, so. I would agree. Yeah, no joke. I have this cork board at home in my computer, and there's a piece of paper on it. Every time I meet someone with a Windows phone, I make a hashtag.
And you text me.
Yes.
Every time.
Jones.
It's like, hey, I met my 12th Windows phone user today.
I think I started keeping track. When did they release Windows Phone 7? It was like 2012?
A little longer ago than that, I think, because the phone I've got now, I'm almost at 3 years, and the phone before that, I had 2 or so years. So,
okay.
So it's got to have been like 2010 or 2011 when they did it.
Anyway, so I've kept
track. Too late, whenever it was.
16. And I would say at least 5 of them have been Microsoft employees.
Was I number one, or was it your sister?
Yeah, my sister was on there. She had one at one point.
Yep.
She's since gotten an Android. Cause,
well, she went to a BlackBerry, though, first, I think.
She went from a really? She went to a BlackBerry?
I swear she had a BlackBerry at some point. And I was like, are you drunk?
I would have thought that was before the Windows phone.
Maybe it was before the Windows phone.
She was like, oh, this Windows phone, it's not very good at taking pictures of my cats.
Well, that's because she didn't get a Lumia. If she had gotten a Lumia, she could have taken any picture she wanted, but
yeah. So I think, what is it, Microsoft selling another piece of Nokia back to someone else? And
yeah, some like Chinese something or other conglomerate, I think, is buying it.
Yeah, it just seems like one of those
things. Basically Ballmer's Folly was buying Nokia.
Yeah, it's like you can buy Nokia for $10 billion and lose $10 billion, or you can buy Minecraft for $2 billion and print money.
Yes.
Nintendo should have bought Minecraft.
Yep.
Hey, oh, there's something else we can talk about. Nintendo should have bought Minecraft.
But I'm glad Microsoft did.
Well, yeah, Microsoft.
Nintendo.
So. Microsoft is a company with a lot of cash, but they buy things with it.
Yes.
Nintendo just hoards the cash, so they're fanboys can be like, oh, they have $10 billion in cash. Like, they'll never go out of business. So we're going to talk about, the Surface Books, why that's probably a better thing for Microsoft to do than their phone line, and then we'll just complain about stuff like that. Okay, our other topic, between now and the last podcast, which we're doing once a month, so we're trying.
Yeah, we've stayed on point for about 6 months now, so it's not bad.
We're doing our best. Anyway, there's a trailer for Battlefield 1, and it's kind of a stupid name, but then you think about it. Battlefield, there was never Battlefield 1. It was Battlefield 1942.
Yes, and then Battlefield 2.
Yep. So I guess this name actually kind of makes sense.
Because, I think you texted me about it, or I texted, I can't remember, but somewhere along the way it was like, you said something about Battlefield 1, and I'm like, huh?
WTF?
Because I had no idea that was the name of it. And I'm like, that's what they called it?
And it has early access on the Xbox One.
Ooh.
All makes
synergy.
Sense.
Synergy.
So it seems like people liked that trailer. At the same time, the Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, is that what they call it?
You got me.
That's gotten a lot of dislikes. So I thought it might be kind of fun just to talk about a lot of these shooter games in general and the fact that maybe they need to kind of like reboot almost.
Yep.
I just think, just like when we're harsh with Microsoft, we're both Microsoft. I wouldn't call myself a fanboy, but I have all their computers. And, you want to see things better. It's like you complain about them because, you're like, hey, I think this is what people might want instead.
Well, it's just like with Call of Duty. Like, I loved all the World War II games. They're all great. It's like, just give me more of that shit.
So it's probably pretty obvious that the conclusion to that segment is going to be go back to World War II.
Yes.
But we'll still talk about it anyway.
Navigate our way there somehow. So.
And then our third topic is we're going to talk about video game movies. So we both are movie buffs, and we also like video games. And we used to do this thing. Well, I guess we're going to do it tonight, allegedly, again. shitty movie night. We used to do it, every 2 weeks, like clockwork?
Yeah, God, we kept that up for quite a while.
Yeah.
Somehow.
And we still try to get into it. So we've actually seen a lot of video game movies.
And
on
just,
purpose.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about the history of those, which ones are good, which ones are bad, and then talk about, there's actually three pretty big bets. You've got Angry Birds, World of Warcraft, which looks like it cost a fortune, and then Assassin's Creed is...
Ooh, yeah, that's
yeah,
great.
With Michael Fassbender, Magneto Creed.
Hell yeah.
Apollo's brother. Ugh. He's got a magnetic personality.
Wow.
The women find him attractive. Okay. All right, so
they actually do. So I guess he does have magnetism. Maybe that's why they chose him for Magneto.
Fassbender?
Yeah.
He was also in Alien Prometheus.
Yes, he was. He was like one of the few good things about that movie. Because he had that scene where he was watching Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
Which reminded you that you could be watching a way better movie instead of Prometheus.
Yeah. I saw that's on the 4K Netflix streaming, so I watched part of it.
Ooh.
I guess it had more sand resolution.
More Sharif.
Yeah, that's a pretty good movie. All right, so let's start with the Microsoft Surface line. So where did the Microsoft Surface line come from, Jones?
Redmond, Washington.
When did they start with it?
What's that?
When was the Surface Pro 1,
Yes.
3 years ago?
Yeah, because originally they made that whole thing where they had a Pro, and then they also had kind of the GIMPed version of it.
They had one that ran off an ARM.
Yeah. And
that nobody wanted.
They've since ditched that wisely.
Well, that's an example of people run Windows to run Windows programs.
Yep.
They don't want an ARM.
Or a leg.
If you want to pay an arm and a leg, you can buy a Mac. Ba-dum-ching!
Or a Surface Book.
Yeah, you're right. It's pretty expensive. But it's pretty beefy machine.
Yeah, yeah. It's this thing, Microsoft watched Apple, and they're like, hey, we could just make a really sleek piece of hardware and charge through the teeth for it, and people will buy it.
They probably did some market research and hey, there's people that would like to spend money but they don't like Apple products.
Yes.
And they found a sucker like me.
Or there's just people that are like, if it's below this price point, I don't think it's high quality, so I won't buy it. So well,
yeah, we... Okay, so...
I'm sure there's people like
somehow
that.
I'm going to segue this into pinball machines.
Oh, God.
Yep. So, you know how America's Most Haunted, updating it is a pain in the ass?
Yes.
So, we made this little separate program that makes it fairly easy.
Yeah.
It's still kind of tricky for people, but it only worked on Windows. Mm. And we had so many people say, oh, I need a Mac version.
Ugh.
Like, when I helped Ed Robinson with his AMH over the phone, it was really weird being tech support for, like, a music rock star. he's like, well, I borrowed a laptop from my neighbor and a cup of sugar. And how do I do it? And what I realized was most people who buy pinball machines are well off.
Yes.
And well off people buy Macs because they're expensive and nice.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a demographic miscalculation on my part.
Hmm.
So normally it's like, okay, this person's a video editor, teacher, musician, they're going to have a Mac. You know, that's pretty easy to figure out.
Yeah.
But also, no matter what you do, if you're well off, people they tend to buy Macs just because they're nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess Microsoft's like, hey, we could have a overly priced fancy laptop.
Yep. And it is really nice. I mean, I'm recording my side of the podcast on the Surface Book.
It's yeah.
A very nice piece of hardware.
Well, I could talk about why I got a Surface Book, and then you could talk. You have a Surface Pro 4 at work.
At work, yeah.
And Felix has a Surface Pro 3. He's not here, so we'll just have to put words into his mouth.
Yeah, we'll just talk on his behalf.
Yeah. Okay. That's what he'd say. All right. Super Omega time.
Pretty much.
Well, I had my previous laptop, actually sitting over there, was a Asus Ultrabook. And I got that because I wanted it to be like really light and have good battery life, you know? So if you're carrying it around, it's not like, oh, this laptop weighs, you know, 10 pounds.
Yeah.
But it got to be about 3 years old. You know, it's about how long, you know, you can kind of expect out of something like that. And it was just really dogging. It's just slow, slow. And it had an i5 in it. I mean, it wasn't like a cheap piece of crap.
Yeah.
And then I upgraded it to Windows 10 because it came with 8. Barf. But I don't know. It was kind of slowing down. So it was like the end of the year. And I was like, well, so when you're self-employed, you buy things before the end of the year, not after tax time.
Yeah.
It's like kind of different. So I'm like, well, you know, maybe I'll get this. And I'll be quite honest. I mean, it's like if you buy it as business equipment and then you write it off, it's like, oh, well, who cares if it costs a bunch of money because it just makes your taxable income lower. It's at work.
The reality, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, when you work for yourself at a certain point, like, you run out of things to buy.
Yeah.
So
you buy a nice, expensive Surface Book instead of the, you know, maybe middle tier version of the Surface Book. So whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of, you know, the idea with taxation is that it encourages you to spend money rather than keep it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, so I was like, okay, well, this thing's really cool, and it would be nice to have like a really, and I thought that it'd be nice to have as good of a Windows laptop as Macs are, because Macs are awesome machines.
They're nice hardware,
yeah. So I went out and bought one. I think I had it at Best Buy. So I got a lot of reward points on my reward zone card or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, cool. Now I have this. But probably the first month I had it, which would have been January, because again, I bought it literally like on December 30th. So the receipt said 2015. It was really buggy.
Well, you said right out of the box.
Right out of the box.
Issues, right?
So the big gimmick with the Surface Book is that you can detach the screen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so this is like, I think it's a top-of-the-line one. You can get one with a bigger hard drive, but I didn't see the point.
Yeah.
So this is like the 512 gigabyte solid-state drive. There's a terabyte, but...
Yeah.
I only have 512 gigabytes on this computer, and basically if you don't install games, it's not 512 is plenty. Oh, games now, like I installed Doom,
nuts.
They're like 50 gigs now.
Yeah, that's just
PC.
Like the baseline is 50 gig now.
It's like, well, here's your next generation. But you know what it is, like, oh, both consoles have Blu-rays,
yeah,
slap on a bunch of textures. So I'm like, okay, well, this I'll get this because this is cool. And I have a Wacom PC set up as well at home at a separate desk that I use to draw. So I've enjoyed using that. So I'm like, okay, well, I can have that same functionality in my laptop because it comes with a stylus. Mm-hmm. The stylus doesn't have quite the sensitivity of a Wacom stylus, and it takes a little bit more pressure to actually make a mark. Like with a Wacom tablet, you can, you know, like when you take a pencil and you just barely drag it across paper and you can make a really light mark. Mm-hmm. You can do that with a Wacom. With this, you have to push a little harder. Yeah. It's not a huge deal.
It just doesn't feel quite natural that way when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like for that really fine detail type stuff.
Yeah, imagine the difference is like you're just dragging, you're dragging the stylus across it sideways, but you're not actually pushing pressure on it.
Okay.
You know like when you want to make a copy of something that has an embossed edge and you can like rub a pencil across it to make a copy? Kind of like that.
Yeah.
So that is a little different. But other than that, like the screen on the Surface Book Pro is amazing.
Yeah.
The blacks are just beautiful. Like, you cannot even, like, if you look at the bottom of it, like, that's a black bar. It looks like it's part of the bezel.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like it just blends right in.
So, the colors, so the stylus might not be quite as good as a Wacom, but the colors on that thing just absolutely blow a Wacom out of the water. And I have, like, two, like, professional grade Dell monitors at home.
Yeah. Well,
kind of like these, but, like, modern ones.
Okay.
That Surface Book Pro screen looks better than those.
Yeah.
The screen is amazing. However, there is a negative with that. If you use capture software like Snagit or Camtasia,
yeah,
it doesn't work at those resolutions.
Yeah, I've had that with mine at work too, because we used to, we'd use Snagit. We've just always used Snagit, and I installed it on there and went to use it, and it's like, oh shit, this just does not work. And but then I just use the Snippy tool, whatever the hell it's called, that's just part of Windows. Because that works for what I need to do at work. But
You know how that Windows Game Bar recorder is built in to Windows 10?
Oh, yep.
We actually use that.
So you can like record what you're doing and all that?
Yeah, so it's built natively into Windows and it works. I wish it worked a little better. But that's what we have to use. Because that thing's resolution is 3,000 by 2,000, which is nuts.
Yeah, my Pro 4, I think it's something like 2640 by I can't remember what.
Would it be 2560 by 1440?
That sounds right. It's pretty crazy, whatever it is.
Yeah, even Felix's older, lower-end Surface Pro 3, he's tried screen capturing with it, and it doesn't work on his as well. So because the resolution is still well past 1080p.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's... Yeah, because like at work, it's kind of funny because I've got my Surface Pro 4 and then I have an external monitor hooked up to it as well. And I actually do, I just extend my display across them. So I've got like this big 27-inch Dell really fancy-ass monitor for my main. And then I've got that thing there. So I leave like my email up on the Pro. But my coworkers will come up and be like, how can you even read that? And I'm like, I don't know. I just can.
On the big monitor?
On the little one.
Oh,
but,
yeah, that is a problem. Some apps don't scale properly.
Yes,
and so the text will be like almost unreadable.
Yeah, I've noticed that there's some that are very good about it, other ones not so good. Like if you try to like drag from the small screen over to the big screen and back, some have some issues with that. But
if I think about that screen compared to like my Dells at home, so you're talking like 2560 by 1440. It's a 27-inch monitor. So that's less resolution in four times the space as that. I mean, that's probably one of the reasons the screen looks so good, because the pixels, you basically can't see them, but there are negatives to that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the main monitor looks great with it, too. And
so that has a display port, right, that you port off of?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then I got the dock for it, so basically it's just got like a little brick that's got all your ports on it.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. That's cool. And aren't there two display ports
yep,
on that?
On it, yep.
Yeah, that plugs into the charge thing, right?
Yeah, there's just like the little
The little black thing
black
on the side?
Black thing on the side, and it's kind of magnetic, so it just, like, pops into place, like, when it's close to where you need it to be.
So, if you look on that one, if you pull it off, you see there's only pins on the ends. And they're symmetrical, too, so you can put it in backwards.
Oh, okay.
But then, the other ones in the middle, that must have, like, USB and DisplayPort. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so...
Huh.
Yeah, it works pretty slick. Like mine, I got one at work, because... My boss had been kind of, not really pressuring me, but being like, hey, you ready to get a laptop yet? Because I was the last holdout there that had, like, a desktop still. Like, everybody else in my department, I work in IT. If that
oh, desktops are still better than laptops. We're doing work.
Yeah, and it's like, if you have a laptop, then there's, like, an expectation that you're going to take it home with you and shit, you know?
Oh, it's
whatever.
Like a gateway drug.
That's just the way I look at it, you know? So I held out forever. But I told him, I'm like, I don't really want a laptop. You know, it's like, because if I want to take it to meetings, I want something where it's like I can just quick grab it, go, yada, yada, yada. So, like, months went by, and then he sends me an email one day with, like, one of our vendors we buy stuff through. They were having some deal on this bundle with a Surface Pro 4 and the dock, and it also came with the really nice keyboard, the one where it's the actual keyboard.
Oh, yeah, because... With a Surface Pro, you have to buy the keyboard separately.
Yeah. Mm. It's like a $130 keyboard.
And that's for the not-so-great one?
It's really nice, actually.
Oh, I thought they weren't that great before.
I think the True Touch or whatever, the one where it's not distinct keys or whatever, I think that one might be the one that's not as great. But I don't know. This one works great. But it had that bundle, and he was like, well, do you want to, you know, do this as kind of like a test, you know, because we'd kind of like to evaluate it anyway to see if we could start buying Surface Pro 4s instead of buying, like, these Lenovo laptops that we buy for people. And I'm like, yeah, sure, you know. So I got it, and I had a few quirks with it. Like, it had an issue with the dock and the external monitor where, like, you know, I'd lock my screen and then, like, the monitor would go, you know, into power save mode when I went to lunch or a meeting or whatever, and I'd come back and it would not wake up. I'd basically have to disconnect the dock to get the Surface to, like,
Felix had that
pick
problem
up again.
As well.
And that went on for a little bit, but then, like, a few weeks ago, I went looking online or I looked at their updates, and they had a whole slew of updates for the Surface Pro, like firmware updates and stuff, and one of them was related to, like, external monitor support, and I'm like, ooh, maybe this will be the win.
That's me.
Because it got worse after I got this new 27-inch Dell monitor too, like so it must have been something specific with that. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, it's great. It's like I don't miss my old desktop at all. I can do everything I need to do on this thing. It's like if I need to go to a meeting, it's like I just yank the, you know, power cord off it, slap the keyboard together and take it with me. And it was kind of interesting when you were talking about the laptop, you know, versus getting something like this, like when you replaced it with this, I guess. It was, I was talking to our CIO yesterday and he was asking me how I liked it. And I was like, well, yeah, you should get one, you know? And he's like, oh, you know, maybe. But he was talking about that he has a laptop, and he's got one of these, you know, really nice, skinny, lightweight laptops and stuff. But he was like, still, you know, he's like, a lot of times he'll take it home, or maybe he doesn't take it with him, because he's like, still, he has, like, the mental perception of it being a laptop. Like, it's still, like, kind of an effort to take it with you still.
Yeah.
Where, like, something like this, it's just like, oh, it's a tablet, you know, like, basically you fire it up, boom, you're right back online, away you go.
Yeah.
And so there is kind of a perception, you know, with these compared to laptops, but it's like, yeah, it runs full-blown Windows 10. I've got SQL Management Studio on it. I can do everything I need to do. It's pretty cool.
When we went down to the Texas Pinball Fest, I was doing a few last-minute code tweaks.
Yeah.
Of course. Actually, for the display driver. And so I put Cordis 2, which is an FPGA programming software, on that laptop. And so synthesizing FPGAs is pretty beefy. It's like one of those things, like when you tell your computer to do it, the fans start whizzing, kind of like rendering video. Okay. Anyway, so I was, you know, doing test compiles on the plane, and it was compiling, well, not as fast as my home computer, but pretty fast, maybe like 80%. I mean, well, this thing's a lot newer than my home computer. Like, my home computer is like a quad-core 3.5 gigahertz Intel i7, I want to say.
Okay.
But it was impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like that black Asus Ultrabook over there, like that thing, like if I compiled code, just code, C, not FPGAs, oh, so slow. yeah, so this one definitely has some beef to it, so I like it. It's easily the nicest laptop I've ever owned. It's also the most expensive, so there you go.
So it should be, but yeah, that's one thing I was just thinking is it's kind of funny that, like, I don't even really think of it as a tablet. Like, I kind of forget that it has a touch screen on it because I've just gotten so accustomed to using the keyboard and, you know, and all that. It's like,
I never really see Felix using his as a tablet.
Yeah.
Because the thing is,
because it's still Windows.
All that,
so.
All that app stuff is still there, but nobody cares.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I don't have the Netflix Windows 10 app, I just open a browser.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think that was the thing with Windows 8 and Windows 10. Microsoft was like, oh, crap, the browser is becoming an operating system, or, well, pretty much is one. And that's, like, a danger to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a valid concern.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, the thing is, just make things easier for computer users. That's all they want.
Yeah, because it's, like, on mine, it's, like, all I use on it is I use Microsoft Office. I have SQL Management Studio. And I use the browsers, basically, because most of our, you know, administrative applications, they're browser-based now, like VMware's administration tool. That's, I mean, they still have a thick client for now, but that's supposed to go away. And so they've got a web client. All my SQL monitoring stuff is all web-based. It's like your storage when you're administering your SAN, that's all web-based now. It's like, yeah, it's just where things are going.
Yeah, yeah. But people also want real computers to get work done.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also millions and millions and millions of people who do not need a full computer.
Yeah.
Like, all they want is email, Facebook, and browse web.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 15 years ago, the PC was the best way to do that. Now it's not the best way to do that.
Yeah.
But you got to think that's probably driving PC manufacturers nuts. It's like, it used to be like, oh, man, every 4 years, like, I think people who don't use computers all the time probably don't buy them every 3 years like most users do. It's like every 4 or 5 years, we might sell a $600 computer. Now it's like every 18 months, we can sell them a $700 cell phone.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's the dream, to sell you shit over and over and over.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So, yeah, I would recommend the Surface Book. I'm sure there'll be a Surface Book 2 that comes out this fall that will be even better than this one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so the problem I had out of the gate was, so the gimmick with the Surface Book is that the screen can detach.
Okay.
So, like, a Surface Pro is basically like a tablet that you can click a keyboard onto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Surface Book looks like a laptop, like it has a keyboard and everything. It's all aluminum and whatnot. But then you can detach the top portion and make it into a tablet. And then the pretty much anything above the base model Surface Book, they have additional battery and video processors in the base.
Okay.
So, like, if you try to run Photoshop with it disconnected, it will work, but it will be like, you know, we recommend you run this program with the base attached because it gives you additional graphics hardware.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's kind of weird because the graphics in the tablet portion are built into the CPU as like an Intel graphics driver, but then there's NVIDIA graphics when you hook it up to the base unit.
It's pretty wild.
I should try putting a game on it just for shits.
Yeah, you might as well, just to see how it performs.
You know, I have zero games on my cell phone. None.
I don't have any either.
Not even Angry Birds.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah, probably a good place to segue. So I would recommend the Surface Book. It's really expensive, but so are Macs.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want a really nice laptop that's got a lot of power and you don't mind spending Mac money, go for it.
Yeah, I think the Pro 4, when we got it with the dock and everything, it was like $1,200 or $1,300. Like, it was actually cheaper than the Lenovos that we usually buy.
Oh, and dear Mac, with your removing of ports, go to hell. People want ports. You might want to sell a charger / USB-C adapter. Because think about that. You could not charge your MacBook, whatever they call it, not the MacBook. It's only got one port.
Yeah, you have to have that lightning port thing.
Yeah. So if you wanted to stick in a thumb drive, you would need an adapter. And if you were charging it, you would need a charge adapter. Ugh. So there's a certain point where it doesn't need to be any thinner.
Yeah.
It's like ports greater than symbol thin. You know, I was telling, oh yeah, so that Surface Book, we're taking it on our chip next week so Max can dump footage to it because it has an SD card slot.
What?
And then he can also do assembly edits because it's a super badass processor. So yeah, ports. And I think we were talking like backflip, and they're like, oh wow, it's got a the new Mac doesn't have that. I'm like, yeah, the new Mac doesn't have any ports. Yeah, so USB is like the wall outlet.
Yeah, it's just
it's going to be around for 100 years.
Yep. Yeah, because there's just so many devices out there that utilize it.
Yeah.
And it just works.
The rumor is the next iPhone's going to get rid of the headphone jack.
I've heard that too. It's just like, what the hell?
It's thin enough.
So it's just going to be, you have to use Bluetooth headset then, I guess?
Or there'll be like a lightning adapter.
Of course.
I mean, I could see why they went from that big connector to lightning, and that big connector was old as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so speaking of cell phones that have apps on them, this weekend, Angry Birds, the movie, has come out.
Is it doing all right?
Did 11 million yesterday.
How much?
11.
So it'll probably make 35 to 40 for the weekend?
Yeah, probably. Which is good because our over and under bet in the office over there is 35.
Okay.
Which yeah, I think I'll probably win, because I think it'll probably do like 38.
Yeah, I was going to say it'll probably do closer to 40, because like today will be its big day since families and stuff. So
that's not... I mean, if it were a Pixar or DreamWorks movie, that wouldn't be very good. But for what it is, that's pretty respectable.
Yeah, I want to say I read it had like a $70, $75 million budget, something like that. Like it wasn't insane.
Yeah, it was like it was more reasonably priced. Like Pixar movies are like $200 million now.
Yeah,
every time.
It's like they have to do big business.
So, they've been making video game movies for what, 23 years since Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, that's probably the first one, I suppose.
So the thing to by super video game movies, we mean movies based off video games.
Yeah,
like The Wizard doesn't count. The Wizard was a movie about video games.
That's probably one of the best ones.
I have not seen that movie.
It's fun. Isn't
it like The Karate Kid with video games?
Kinda. Yeah, because you've got like there's the shit kid who's got the power glove. You would crack up at that movie because there's like this scene where they're at this little like restaurant cafe, and of course there's like a little arcade thing, and they're playing, you know, some arcade game, and then like this badass kid comes in. It's not Lucas. I can't remember.
Is he like the bad guy?
Yeah, he's kind of like the enemy guy, but he comes in and he throws on like the power glove because this was back when the power glove was coming out.
Yeah.
And then he plays like Rad Racer with the power glove and he's trying to like look all like a badass, like moving his hand back and forth. Pure 80s.
We did a power glove teardown and reverse engineering episode about 3 weeks ago. I mean, it did have motion sensing, but there were very few games that would actually use it like as a motion tracking device. Most of it was just like, if you move this far to the left, that's left. Everything, it was basically just a reproduction of like the button controls.
Yeah, and I think that's basically what Rad Racer did, because all he does is he goes like this and this to like move the car back and forth on the screen. So,
but it did have analog positioning, it's just that most of the games didn't use it.
So the Wizard doesn't count.
Yeah.
Even though it did have Jenny Lewis in it.
Who?
She went on to, what is she? She's in the band Rilo Kiley. I don't know if you've heard of them either, but she's like the lead singer.
Wasn't the bad guy in Force Awakens? Rilo Kiley?
Yeah, maybe they liked that band, so they kind of used that as inspiration for
Why
his
name.
Why
does Kylo Ren wear a mask?
Because he wants to be like his grandpa. I don't know.
I don't want to be like my grandpa.
Because it's dumb. He was cool until he took his mask off. Then he was just an emo bitch.
But wouldn't everyone on the ship know who he is?
You would think.
Why would you want to have a sweaty face? Remember when you had to wear that possum costume?
Yeah, I remember.
Would you just want to wear that for fun?
Yeah, like just roll into work wearing that.
And the head was the worst part.
Yes, it was. No, that wouldn't be high on my list of things to do. But I don't know.
Anyway,
he wore it just so they could have like this badass looking bad guy that ended up being a little bitch.
Yeah, well, he did look pretty cool. I mean, the mask was pretty cool.
Yeah,
but then he took it off and he's like a
cool
big wimp.
Until he took it off.
It reminded me, you remember in The Lion King where Simba became a bigger wuss when he grew up than when he was a kid?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Anyway, video game movies. So the first movie based off a video game was Super Mario Brothers in 1993.
And I think we've discussed that pile before.
Well, we watched that on Shitty Movie Night, and I remember there's two movies that pushed our limits, like Super Mario Brothers nearly killed me, and then your ex-wife was Son of the Mask.
They both had Bob Hoskins in them. So
oh, that's true. Oh,
I don't
my God.
Know if that's
right.
A secret mark of terribleness, although he's been in lots of good stuff.
You know
he's a good actor. But
you know what sucks? We killed another actor this week. We were talking about DuckTales all week. And then last night, Alan Young, dead. Of course, he was 96.
Yeah. Probably can't lay that one at your feet, but...
Yeah, because we were talking, like... We're wondering if there's a YouTube video out there that tries to figure out how much Scrooge could have made if he would have invested his money instead of, like, leaving it in that big vault. Right? Like, you're like, I'm going to buy some Apple stock in 1998. Bless me, bagpipes, I'm even richer! But yeah, he was kind of the Donald Trump of ducks.
Yes.
Yeah. Except he was
nicer.
So
was Donald.
What?
So how did Donald come into play then?
Oh, no. In DuckTales, Donald was going to the Navy.
That's right.
So he had to leave his nephews with Scrooge to watch them.
Yeah, I forgot that was the
DuckTales, that was a hell of a video game.
Yeah, it was.
They should turn that into a movie. I guess they made DuckTales the movie.
All those games that Capcom made like that, like the Rescue Rangers one was good.
If you think about it, that was like the first licensed game that, well, they were good Star Wars games, but...
Yeah.
Okay, it was the first licensed game that wasn't Star Wars that didn't suck.
Yeah, that DuckTales game was bad. That was so badass that they like remastered it and brought it out again a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was actually watching a video of that last night, because first I'm like, oh God, Alan Young is dead. And then I'm like, wait a minute, he did voices for that game, so... He would have been like 93. So they dragged this 93-year-old into the recording studio, and they're like...
Oh, when they remastered
it?
Yeah, like
they added new dialogue from all the original cast. Wow. And, I mean, he still sounds like, you know, Scrooge McDuck.
Huh.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about that. Because when that came out, I'm like, man, I should pick that up, but I didn't do it.
Yeah, the review said it was kind of... There's like too many cutscenes and too much dialogue, but... Mm. I'm sure like, hey, we have Alan Young. Let's add a bunch of dialogue.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, like, DuckTales, you can beat that game in, like, 11 minutes if you know exactly what to do. So you had to pad it out a little bit. That's the thing. Back when you paid $50 for a game in 1990, see, people complain about game prices. Like, you could pay $50 for a game in 1990.
Yeah.
And you could win it in 15 minutes. And now, if you only get 7 hours out of a $60 game, 26 years later, people complain.
Yeah, they're out for blood.
Like, don't they realize games are cheaper than they used to be?
Yeah. Well, and that was why, like, I was talking to some people at work about our, I think, last podcast topic with the PlayStation 4 or 5 or whatever, and we were talking about how developers were pissed off or whatever. One of the guys is like, why would they be pissed off about it? And it's like, well, guess what? They get to do more development, create more assets, do more QA, and the game's still going to cost $60.
Yep. And then people are going to complain games are too expensive. Yeah, if you think about it, like they probably, let's say they spent $1 million making Mario 3. It, you know, that was about right.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it sold for $50, right? Granted, the cartridges cost more.
And they sold what, like 25, 30 million copies or something?
Now, like the average big game is probably like 60 million and it sells for $60.
Yeah.
So even, yeah. I just people need to do math. I mean, you might not want to pay more than $60 for a game, but if you think about what something costs and inflation, it's actually a miracle they're as cheap as they are.
Well, that's just like you know, we talked about before. You know, that's why basically they have these season pass things that cost $30. You know, it's, but whatever. Because if that's a sidetrack, I guess, from
I don't know. I feel very strongly about it because it just, it's like this whole, all these people that complain about the price of video games and they don't realize that they're basically cheaper than they ever were. I mean, so are computers.
Well, if you look
could pay like $4,000 in 1984 for a computer, and that's ridiculous.
Well, and if you look at the value, like to me, it comes down to value. You know, if you sit there and you play 20 hours in a game or whatever, or even seven, and you get a lot of entertainment out of it, it's like, well, you know, think about other things that you could do with your entertainment dollar,
like
and
a
how
movie.
Much they cost. Yeah, like going to a movie.
That's going up in price way faster than video games are.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to see a movie for under $10 anymore.
So that's like $5 an hour, or if you buy a game for $60 and you get $12 out of it, you get the same, or 12 hours out of it, you get the same amount of enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
But you could resell the game,
yep,
or take it to GameStop or play it again versus just sitting in the dark for 2 hours.
Yep. Or, yeah, like a baseball game, whatever, which is way more, you know. Like, you can't go to that for $10. You know, it's like...
Well,
so
I think
as far as entertainment's concerned, it's like video games are still they're pretty damn good bargain is basically the point being made.
I mean, I think there are cases where the argument's true, like Star Wars Battlefront. That definitely felt thin.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But now they've said, well, basically we didn't have single player because we had to meet the release date of Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So they kind of threw Star Wars under the bus with that. I'm sure there's some truth to that, but...
Yeah.
I don't think I even put 6 hours in that game.
I think that might be about what I put in it.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much in that one night that we played, and then you and Mike logged off, and then Parker and I kept playing for probably another 3 hours. And
Wait, were we talking about video game movies?
I think so.
Yeah. We can come back to Battlefield when we do the game stuff. Okay, so Super Mario Brothers 3 is... probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of bad movies.
And it just so happens to be based off of a video game.
So it struck me as it's... Okay, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is an awesome movie.
But it's not based off a video game.
Right. But Mario Brothers reminded me if Ninja Turtles had been done completely wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it felt like. Because it's like, oh, we're making this realistic. Yeah. And I guess we're in New York. And then there's like these, you know...
Sewers or something.
But it sucked.
Yeah.
And it was like...
Well, actually,
that came
after...
There was like stuff that was inappropriate, but it wasn't interesting or funny.
Well, and it actually came after Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
so
3 years.
So they probably saw, like, hey, that did good. You know, it could have been some of the inspiration for some of that crap that they put in there. They just did it really bad.
So then after that, wasn't Street Fighter the movie was, like, year after?
Oh, God.
No, but see, that movie is one of those where it's bad enough to be good.
Yeah, it's entertainingly shitty, yeah.
How would you say that works? Like, so if a movie is entertainingly good, entertainingly bad, it's good?
Yes.
It's yeah.
The so bad it's good type.
So know, Mario thinking. Brothers is really bad, but it's also not interesting bad, so it's just bad. Oh, yeah, it's bad. Is that
yes.
what we call it? But so Street Fighter the movie was a flop. It's bad, but it's bad. No, it's good. Bad
good.
Because
is there a difference between good bad and bad good?
Good bad would be like Street Fighter the movie.
Okay.
Do you remember at the end where? Because we watched that for Shitty Movie Night too.
Yeah.
And there's got the pile of rubble, and then we're like, yes,
oh,
yes. And his hand bursts out of the rubble.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
It's M. Bison. He's not dead.
It has, like, the Carrie ending.
It was like, yes!
Yep.
I was so thrilled.
But then, of course, Raul Julia sadly died.
Yeah. Showtime! Keep it. I've got a whole bucket full.
Oh, God, I forgot about the goddamn hand coming out of the crowd.
Because it was a pretty good bad movie, but then that just put it over the top.
Yeah, because it had him and Jean-Claude Van Damme, and
yep.
I can't remember who the hell else was in it.
Kylie Minogue was in it, and nobody else.
Okay.
But and Guile Van Damme was the hero, yeah. Like Caillou and Ren. Were they even in it? Or Ryu or Ryu or... Ninja Gaiden, not Gaiden.
Oh, God, those games.
I'm going to play Ninja Gaiden with H.R. Giger.
Hmm.
I'm not going to play Ninja Gaiden with H.R. Giger.
I know.
Okay, so 1995, probably the first, well, it was the first successful, Mortal Kombat.
Hmm.
Probably because it had that really cool theme song.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
It's actually pretty, well.
And then they made a sequel, too.
It was Paul W.S. Anderson.
Oh.
Not Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah. It's pretty much, the you know, as far as like, hey, make a movie about Mortal Kombat. And
it's
aside from not being rated R,
it
was PG-13, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It was, you know, it was decent.
Well, see, there you go. Now, with people loving R-rated movies,
because
apparently they hated them forever, it's time to bring Mortal Kombat back.
Mortal Kombat! Dun, 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 dun.
I don't know when they did the sequel, but...
98, Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh, well, yeah, shit, it's been about 20 years then. They're about due to make another one.
Well, the producer of Mortal Kombat's the guy making the Tetris movie.
See, there you go. It's just a matter of time.
Tetris.
Like, I read that they're spending like, more money making Tetris than Fox did making Deadpool.
It's like, what? It's like, look at Pixels, look at Battleship. Do you really think you should do this? And you know it's going to be fucking aliens dropping blocks.
Well, what it should be is that podcast intro that we did like 10 years ago or whatever.
But that was
Tetris
about a Tetris
Island.
Championship.
It would have been awesome. Like,
but at least that fit the world because it's like it's a Tetris movie about people playing Tetris.
And it had Tetris Island. It would have had Arnold in it.
But you know this is going to be like fucking aliens dropping blocks on cities.
Yeah,
you
it'll
know
be
that's what it's going to be.
As hell, I'm sure.
I think that happened on... oh, God. Yeah, that happened on Futurama as well. Like aliens were... well, Pixels ripped off an episode of Futurama. Like aliens saw transmissions from Earth of video games, considered a declaration of war, and started attacking Earth. And then Fry, the only person who remembered video games, knew how to beat them.
Ah, okay.
Right? But anyway, in that one, and then the short film of Pixels, well, the short film of Pixels, which was how the movie got made, had like a Tetris block.
There was a short film of
Yeah,
Pixels?
It started as a short film, and then that's how it got made into a movie.
God.
A Tetris block comes down from the sky. It's a clever shot.
Yeah.
Like an L block comes down and like, lands in the corner of a building, and then it wipes out, like, you know, four stories of the building.
Yeah.
I mean, it was actually pretty clever, but...
But yeah,
why?
That's what'll happen.
I would bet my laser cutter that it's going to be fucking aliens dropping blocks on cities.
He's only betting it because he'd like to buy a new one, probably.
No, I just got a new lens in it, so it's still working
great.
Oh, okay. Great.
Well, yeah,
it's good. It's better to replace a $100 lens than a $3,000 laser tube.
True. Unless it's the end of the year and you gotta burn money for it.
Well, I asked the guy how much the laser tube was, and he's like, oh, it's $1,500, but there's a $3,000 court charge. And I'm like, what? I thought he was joking.
Wow.
Because what they do is they take it and they, because the laser tube costs more than that, but the laser tube has a cost, and the aluminum heat sinking around it is a big cost too. That's why if you get like the cheaper lasers from China, it's just a bare tube.
Okay.
But the nice American ones have tons of heat sinks around them.
So
it's like, yeah, it's like it actually costs more than $1,500. $1,500 is what the tube costs.
Yeah, but then you got all the aluminum.
Right. So they send you the new one, and that's why you had to send the old one back to get the deposit because
I gotcha.
The value of it actually exceeds the $1,500. So when you send yours back, then it can be refurbished for the next one.
Okay.
But yeah, it was weird. Like the cord charge was like twice the cost of the tube. And I'm like, what? Is that a word typo? Or voice typo? Anyway, so Mortal Kombat was actually fairly successful. And then probably the next big one would have been Tomb Raider with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
So now if you win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, you would need to immediately sign up for a Tomb Raider movie.
Ugh. I don't have a problem with Alicia Vikander, but she is not who I would cast for Lara Croft.
Who would you cast?
I would cast Emily Blunt. She's got the action chops. She's a good actress. She's got the awesome accent. But she's not a movie star. Not that Alicia Vikander is either, but she's got an Oscar now. So.
You know, Emily Blunt may not be a quote-unquote movie star, but she is in a ton of movies.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, you know, you look at her background, it's like she was in Edge of Tomorrow. She held her own in an action movie with Tom Cruise. You know, like mm-hmm. they basically share the screen. She was really great in that. Sicario, she was fantastic in that.
Looper.
Yep.
Now she's going to be Mary Poppins.
Yep.
That's why she'll be Captain Marvel. She'll do Mary Poppins, and then Disney will have her be Captain Marvel.
I would be happy with that if she ends up being Captain Marvel.
I don't think she's that old either. I mean, she's like 31.
I think she's mid-30s, maybe early 30s.
Yeah. She's probably a lot younger than Jim Halpert.
But I don't know. She's like...
I don't know about Tomb Raider, though.
I don't know. Just whenever I thought about... Because I knew they were going to make a new Tomb Raider at some point, and I'm like, that's who I would cast. Like, I can't think of anybody else that would be better than her. Certainly not Alicia Vikander. Like, she's not at all who I would cast. She'll probably do fine, but...
You sound like these people complaining that Wonder Woman was too skinny to be super powerful.
No.
But Wonder Woman's magical.
Was,
like,
that
Tomb
was
Raider,
you complaining about that.
Tomb Raider is... No, you weren't complaining, but...
No, you were complaining about Wonder Woman, though. You're like, she doesn't have big enough boobs.
I didn't say that. A lot of people did, though.
Okay, maybe you're reiterating.
I've heard women say that about
something.
Her. Like, she's too skinny. Like, but she's magical. Like, Henry Cavill is not strong enough to pick up an oil tanker. But Superman is, right?
Yeah.
But as Wonder Woman is also magical, so mm-hmm. she doesn't have to be.
Yeah, she doesn't have to
this
be like
big
built
buff
like a
woman
brick shit house. Yeah.
But Tomb Raider is not magical, so she has to like at least seem tough.
Yeah, which Emily Blunt would pull off.
Yeah, it's almost like she's like, I don't know, maybe too tall or something.
She's probably too old. They probably want to try to go with like young Lara, like. From these new games, because she's like a younger version.
I mean, in the game, she clearly seems based off of Jennifer Lawrence. Emily Blunt is 33.
There we go.
How old is John Krasinski? Who's the new... he's not that old.
How old is he?
36.
Oh.
Wow. So he was like way younger than Jenna Fisher.
See, the thing, too, with... Yeah, because she's, like, in her 40s.
She's older than I am, if such a thing is imaginable.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I guess she was born before you.
Wow.
So was Amy Adams.
Yes, she was.
Who was also in The Office.
Yes, she was.
Uh-oh. I smell a conspiracy.
But, yeah, I think probably part of the thing, too, with Alicia Vikander is just that she is younger. And I'm sure that they look at it like, oh, if this is a hit, we're going to make like 3 or 4 of these. And, you know, where otherwise if it was Emily Blunt, it's like, oh, she's going to be pushing 40 when we're getting to like film 3 or something.
You know, if any video game movie has a chance for success, I would think it'd be Tomb Raider.
Oh, yeah.
All you have to do is make a female Indiana Jones in modern times.
Yep, it's
that's
that simple.
All you have to do.
It's really that simple.
I think people point to Tomb Raider as being the most successful movie, and it probably was. But, my God, it is not a good film. It's a fucking mess.
Yeah, it sucks. The sequel's not very good either.
So the rumor is that movie was even worse. And then Stuart Baird, who's been like, you probably know who he is, like
yeah,
a long-time editor.
He's been doing, he works on like the X-Men stuff, I think, now, doesn't he?
Well, he started back in the 70s. Like, he edited Superman.
Okay, maybe I'm
he's like a long, he's like the Dean Cundley of editors. He's edited a lot of big movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess he came in and he basically saved the film in editing.
Okay.
And as thanks, Paramount gave him the director's chair on Star Trek Nemesis.
Wow.
And then Star Trek Nemesis
Which
wasn't that good.
Wasn't
either.
Very good, apparently. I never saw it, but I've heard nothing good about it.
It has a really skinny young Tom Hardy in it.
Really?
Yeah, he's the bad guy. Huh. And you wouldn't even recognize him because he's bald and he like looks like he just starved to death. And
huh.
Yeah, but it's like one of his first roles.
That's weird.
Tom Hardy, the next Bond.
It's going to be Loki. That's what it sounds like. Which he could work.
Yeah.
It's the thing I'm really curious. I mean, I know
Loki.
We're getting. I know
your name is Loki. His birth certificate says Loki.
I know we're getting off track, but whatever.
We always get off track.
We're just talking about pop culture shit, so whatever. But the thing I'm really, because this is like new news as of like a couple of days ago, where it came out that Craig's done with Bond.
They offered him like $100 million, and he's like,
yeah,
no.
For two movies. And I have to respect the guy that it's like he can't be bought, apparently. I mean, obviously he's rich, he's got plenty of money. But
I'm kind of tired of his Bond, though. It's...
See, that's the thing. I'm curious to see what they do, because when they did Craig's Bonds, this was the first time where they like really truly rebooted it, essentially.
Well, so, I hope they can bring in a new Bond and not reboot it. I mean, yeah. Audiences aren't stupid. Like, they're used to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be smart enough to do that. I'm just curious to see how they handle it, just because, you know, traditionally it was just always like, oh, you know, here's a new Bond. But, like, when they brought Craig in, it's like, here, we're basically going to, like, reset.
And but that's the thing. I mean, we're in an age now where if you can't get the same actor, you reboot the movie instead of just recasting the actor, which is really kind of stupid if you think about it. But that's, I mean, Spider-Man is a perfect example.
Yeah.
I mean, not only did Sam Raimi not really want to do it, but everyone from the old Spider-Man had just gotten really expensive. Like, I read that, like, they offered Tobey Maguire for Spider-Man 4, which was ready to go. Like,
yeah, it was like him and Dunst were on board, weren't they?
Yeah, it had a start date and everything, but then at the last minute, he's like, you know what? Or Sam Raimi's like, I'm not really feeling the script. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Because he obviously, you know, he had to make it a lot better after Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, anyway, he walked away, Maguire and Dunst walked away.
But then he was like, hey, Sony, I know you guys kind of want to make a reboot anyway, so I'm not going to waste your time.
Yeah.
And walked away. Because Sam Raimi's a fucking god.
Wow.
Sam Raimi's awesome.
He is pretty cool.
Anyway, Tobey Maguire was going to get $50 million, and he'd only have to film in the afternoons.
Wow.
So he'd have mornings and evenings with his family. It was like, they're just bending over backwards.
That's like Robert Downey Jr. type deal, basically.
Yeah. or Johnny Depp. The thing that's weird about those two, obviously, you know, I think they're great actors, but they cannot open a movie that's not Iron Man or Jack Sparrow. It's like, at what point is like, I don't know.
Like for Downey, like the only other thing he's been able to pull off is the Sherlock Holmes movies.
Oh, yeah. But I was thinking about that movie yesterday because I heard a Madonna song on the radio.
But it's like everything else. Like he did that movie,
The Judge
that did nothing.
The movie where Electro could play piano or something. Or no, was it? Remember?
Well, there was
Jamie
Foxx
like homeless, and Robert Downey Jr. was good at playing an instrument or something.
Yep. Yeah, it looked like the big Oscar bait movie.
Yeah.
And it did nothing. And
I call it Electro Whiplash.
And there was that movie. What was it like? Due Date or something. It was like him and Zach Galifianakis, some like road movie that
he was in that?
Yeah, and that did nothing.
You know what Marvel could do? It's like once Robert Downey Jr. gets too expensive or too old, just hire Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I mean, that's the problem. I mean, like the Spider-Man problem, you know, in a way, you know, like everybody's getting too expensive. It's the same problem Marvel's got now. You know, it's like Downey's too expensive. Evans is going to get to the end of his deal, and it's like, well, what are you going to do? Now, of course, in the comics world, there's the way it works out, I guess, from what I understand, is that eventually the Winter Soldier basically becomes Captain America. And so it's like that's being set up very nicely, because apparently the guy, Sebastian Stan, I think, that plays
the guy
Winter
with the metal
Soldier,
arm.
He's got like 8-pitcher deal or something like that. And he's been in, what, like 2 or 3 so far?
Yeah.
Whereas Evans is getting to the end of his. So it's like, oh, is that, you know, is the track already laid where basically something's going to happen?
I think they're going to kill some. I think Marvel will finally start killing people like in Infinity War.
They have to. Like they should have in Civil War.
I didn't see it yet. Don't spoil it.
I already told you that nobody dies in
I guess I could have. That's not really a spoiler.
It's a big puss fest.
It's
like, I don't know.
Let's bring this back to video games.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. We can talk about that later, I guess. okay, so where were we? Oh, yeah, we were at Tomb Raider. Daniel Craig was in Tomb Raider, too.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He said something about into the belly of the beast and out the devil's arse. I remember that line. But it's like, out of all these
anything
movies,
successful since, well, Resident Evil series, they don't make a ton of money, but they...
They were always successful, though. They make their money back and then some, because they weren't very expensive.
I've only seen the first two. I actually thought Resident Evil was pretty decent.
It's a solid movie.
It's not great, but it's solid, which is more than you can say for, like, I don't know, Super Mario Brothers or Tomb Raider. Because Tomb Raider, again, was a mess.
The only thing Tomb Raider has going for it is that end sequence when she's running in slow motion and everything's exploding and, you know.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie was perfect casting. They definitely got that right.
Yeah, it's just too bad the movie wasn't any better.
Up to snuff,
so whoever is trying to make a new Tomb Raider movie, oh yeah, I guess they are, whoever that is.
Yeah, I don't know who's directing
it. It's really simple. Just make Uncharted with a woman. That's it.
Yeah, they just...
See, you don't even have to, because I know it might be too difficult to make a modern day Indiana Jones with a woman. Yeah. That's too many different steps. So to make it a little easier, you only have to change one thing.
Yeah, just do what they did with the video games, basically, because yes. They just made the new video games Uncharted with a woman.
Right. I'm just saying, I think it's too complicated, though. Like, oh my God, we have to set this in the present and change the sex? That's too much work. You know, that's too hard for them. So
well, yeah,
Uncharted is less of a transition.
Yeah, because I mean, we said the same thing about the original Tomb Raider movies. It's like, this should be a slam dunk. It's like, it just has to be Indiana Jones with boobs, basically.
Yeah.
So it's like...
You not print money with that?
It's not hard, but apparently it is for Hollywood, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think a Tomb Raider movie done right could be really successful. Because I think people are hungry for, like, another Indiana Jones kind of movie. I'd be more excited about a well-done Tomb Raider movie than a new Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have zero shits to give for a new Indiana Jones, which I know they said they're going to make.
So, we've also had a lot, they made a Hitman movie. And
oh, yeah.
Nobody goes to any of these films, but
there was the other one that's... I always get confused with Hitman. Did they make a movie of that, too? Like, there's the two... Oh, Sam...
No. Oh, Splinter Cell?
Splinter Cell. No, it's a... Damn it. It's
What about that Halo movie they tried to make?
Oh, yeah.
That would have just been way too expensive.
Max Payne. That's what I was thinking of. Because that had Wahlberg in it, right?
Yes. I think. And nobody cared.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of...
You know, another game movie that would actually be really successful would be like Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
If you made like Legend of Zelda, like Lord of the Rings, Legend.
Well, it's just like how they're doing Warcraft. I mean, that's essentially what they're doing with Warcraft, is they're trying to make a new Lord of the Rings.
I
don't know if it'll work.
I have my doubts about that film. I think that could be a huge bomb.
I think so too, but I mean it's the same thing with Zelda. It's like the same idea. It's like, here, make this as Lord of the Rings. Print money, basically.
Yeah, so right now, okay, so it's Angry Birds, which wasn't too expensive, but then you have a couple of big budget movies. You have Warcraft and Assassin's Creed, like arguably probably like the biggest budget video game movies yet. Well, Prince of Persia I thought was actually pretty decent.
Yeah, that was actually, I mean, it was a bomb at the box office, but yeah, it was a really...
It had Alfred Molina in it.
It had kind of that... It wasn't as good as The Mummy, but it kind of had that vibe. It didn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun.
It wasn't as good as The Scorpion King, but few things are.
Oh, God.
You're lucky we have the same mother.
Yeah, I saw some crap the other day where there's like they're going to make a Robert Ludlum cinematic universe now or something, and The Rock's going to be in it, and I'm like, no.
You know, I said
do another Scorpion King.
They need to let Chuck Russell make a movie. Like, Chuck Russell wanted to make an Arabian Nights film. It's like, Disney,
cool.
This is really easy. Chuck Russell, Aladdin, live action, print.
Yep.
anyway, so now they're really doubling down. Like, Halo would have been really expensive, and I think that's why it didn't get made, which I think is a good call.
Yeah.
But now they're going for anyway, like Assassin's Creed and... Warcraft, probably the two biggest budget. I'm sure Warcraft has to be close to $200 million. I don't know how it isn't.
Yeah, I was actually going to look that up. I'm curious what the heck.
Pretty much made every comic book movie they possibly can, it seems like the new thing to strip mine are video games. Because remember, video games are a lot more profitable and successful than the movie industry now, like by several orders of magnitude. So I think that's the new hope.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It seems like they're not making the kind of movies. Like Warcraft on paper sounds good. But the thing is, I mean, the people who play Warcraft, are they going to see it? I mean, do you play that game once?
Yeah, I play it a bit off and on.
Is there a budget?
No, it's they don't have it listed.
I'll check the Googles. I'm sure there's some sort of
there's probably an variety, article that talks about, you know, it somewhere. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, it's one of those where, like, when I saw the trailer at first, I was just like, you know, who is going to see this movie?
$100 million? That's...
I could see that. They don't have any, like, big-name people in it.
Well, sure they do. They have the guy from Vikings, Paula Patton.
The guy from Vikings.
Dominic Cooper. Somebody. Wasn't he one of the Hobbits? No.
No, that was Monahan.
That's actually pretty reasonably priced, I mean, for what it looks like.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you look at that, it's like, yeah, you know, it's probably going to get its money back at the very least. But yeah, I mean, for it to be a new Lord of the Rings, I think it's a pretty big long shot. But like watching the trailers, it's like the orcs look very well done. Like the effects are really great.
Well, the Blizzard trailers always look really good.
Yeah, and there's that cool shot at the end of the first trailer where the dude's riding the griffin and dive bombing into battle. And basically, like, that one shot alone made it. So I was like, you know, I'll probably see that in the theater. But yeah, I just don't know if it's going to be the kind of hit they're hoping it is.
What about Assassin's Creed?
That I haven't seen much for, but I'm in just because Fassbender's in it. I did play the Assassin's Creed the first few games, and I liked them quite a bit. But, I mean, basically, if Fassbender's in something, I'll watch it because he's freaking awesome. So, and,
yeah.
Like, I saw a picture of him, like, in costume and everything. I'm like, fuck, he looks the part.
The trailer looked pretty good.
Isn't, like, Marion Cotillard in that, too?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Because it's like Fassbender got his Macbeth director and co-star, so. Okay. He had a lot of sway on the production.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, I need to watch that Macbeth movie yet. It's on Prime, last I knew, but I have to, yeah, I'm definitely in for that. I like Marion Cotillard a lot, too, so.
The thing is, you know, if any of these movies succeed, they're just going to make them even faster.
Yeah.
It's like they're throwing a bunch of spaghetti at the wall. The video game movies is like throwing all the spaghetti on the wall and none of it sticks, and then you can't eat it either. It's like they've wasted a lot of money trying to get this genre to work over the years.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, let's say Tomb Raider comes out, and let's say it's a good hit. Like, you know, it makes a few hundred million, whatever. Like, it breaks out. You know damn good and well there's going to be a push to make an Uncharted movie then.
There has been a push to make an Uncharted movie.
Well, that might be the nudge to put it over the top then, I guess.
I guess David O. Russell was going to direct it.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they were talking about that like a couple of years back.
But it would have just been Bradley Cooper as Uncharted Man.
Well, it should be Nathan Fillion, but it won't be because they'll want a star.
Jennifer Lawrence as Blonde Woman. Robert De Niro as Old Guy Who Helps.
Yeah,
which is will just be the cast of every
every old Russell movie.
Kurt Russell. I wish it was a Kurt Russell movie.
But yeah, it's well, that's like they were talking about making a BioShock movie, which I mean, it could work as a movie, but it would cost a shit ton of money. Like you'd have to make a pretty big leap of faith.
I want a good BioShock game.
That would be nice.
I have to say that. Infinite disappointed me.
It
especially now that I've been playing Doom.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't have the same kick, I guess, that the first two did.
Yeah.
I'll definitely say
now, I guess,
that.
You know, obviously Irrational can't make it now. Someone else have to make it, but that might not necessarily be a bad thing.
Yeah.
So like in the new Doom, you can carry all of your guns at once. It's awesome.
Nice.
Because in BioShock Infinite, it's like you could have two guns. It was like dumbed down to a cover-based shooter. That's what's fun about Doom. It feels like an old game from the 90s.
Okay.
So kind of like that. So take that kind of stuff and then put it in a BioShock game.
That's right.
Oh, and then put it on the moon.
There was a Doom movie. That's right.
Oh, yeah, with The Rock.
Which that... The thing with that movie, which I guess they tried to do this recently, but I remember watching that, and it's like the last 15 minutes or so are basically first person.
There's one sequence, yeah.
Or something, and I remember that being kind of cool, and I was like, you know, they should have done the whole movie this way, but then
hardcore
of course they
Henry.
Couldn't have cast The Rock, but there was, that hardcore
There could have been a lot of mirrors in it, like, oh, look, this movie stars The Rock.
Yeah. But it was kind of like, oh, that'd be a different concept to try, which I guess.
So you mean it'd be kind of like Cloverfield?
Oh, no.
Hey, have you seen 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Nope. Have you?
No.
It actually looked kind of interesting, much more so than the first one.
Yeah, I mean, it has John Goodman and John McClane's daughter in it.
That's true.
You know, we were talking about Die Hard the other day, and, you know, like, why movies like Die Hard were good and why action movies now suck. And it's like, nowadays, everything, it's like that new X-Men movie. I have absolutely no interest in that. It looks, and it's not getting very good reviews either. I know you'll go do it, but.
I don't even, like, the first trailer, I was like, that's pretty cool. The trailers since have been kind of, but I don't give a shit. I'll go.
But all these movies, it's like, they're always saving the world. And like, oh, I'm going to drop a stadium on the White House. And now a pyramid's going to land on Big Ben. And I'm just tired of seeing all this world-ending destruction porn. And what about the times when it was like, here's a building. There are some terrorists in it. There are 40 people. One guy has a gun with 10 bullets and no shoes. Like, that's it. Yep. That's all you get. That's everything that can happen has those parameters.
And his estranged wife is in the building somewhere.
Yeah, you know, you don't have, like, you don't have Paul Bettany with a drool in his forehead flying in to save the day or all this magical crap or Olivia Munn with psychic powers. The psychic power to cause Brett Favre to have a really awful first season.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, right. But, Brett Favre's dreams.
I don't know. If you're Aaron Rodgers, would you care? It's like,
I mean, if you ask me, Olivia Munn is like the poor man's Jessica Chobot. Although, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is not poor.
I don't know, though. That part in the trailer where she slices that car in half, that's pretty badass.
I don't think there's really ever been a great X-Men movie. Well, First Class was pretty good.
First Class and X2 are both really damn good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would agree there hasn't been one where it 100%
They
hit.
Need to kill Mystique. So it's like, that way it can stop being the...
Yeah.
They need to kill Mystique and Wolverine, so it's no longer the Mystique-Wolverine movie.
Well, that's what sucks with, like, these movies now is like, because Mystique is not how she's being portrayed in the movies. It's like, but because it's Jennifer Lawrence, it's like, oh, she's going to kind of like lead the X-Men and stuff. It's like, where the fuck did this come from? Like, Mystique was way cooler back when she was Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah, and then, you know, a lot of people had issues with Halle Berry's Storm. Like, ooh, she's just getting more screen time because she got an Oscar. But it was still a lot more reasonable than what's happening with Jennifer Lawrence, where she's kind of taken over the franchise. I mean, like, if you see Days of Future Past, you know, they advertised all these mutants. Yeah. And all it was Mystique and her boyfriend, Wolfman. Yeah. And it was, like, basically, like, four mutants running around. And there weren't that many mutants in it. I don't know. I just didn't. Also, I had a problem with the Sentinels. It's like, there's absolutely no way that technology could have worked in 1974. I just can't get... I mean, I'm okay with mutant powers.
Yeah.
But I'm not okay with the robots being that advanced.
Yeah, I can see that.
That was an issue for me.
But, I know...
Jennifer Lawrence is blonde woman.
See, now it could be Brie Larson, though, because she's got
an Oscar.
Who's
Brie Larson?
She was in Room.
So she's going to be... She's going to be the new Mystique?
No, she could be the blonde woman in Uncharted when David O. Russell doesn't direct it.
Right.
So,
blonde woman. Whoever the blonde woman is from Uncharted, that's who it should be.
But
maybe it could be old Nathan Drake is filling in. Hey, Castle is done now, so
yeah, he's got an opening.
Yeah.
Who did he?
Oh, I'd watch a movie with Nathan Fillion punching people.
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to cast it how it should be cast, it's like he should be Drake.
If you want like instant geek cred, which hello, a video game, that's who you cast.
But it's like, of course, it's Hollywood. They want freaking marquee name, so they won't do that because they're dumb. But so here,
it'll be Bradley Cooper if they make it.
Probably. So here, if they could turn any video game into a movie, what would you want to see them?
What
do?
Would I want to see?
Yeah,
I'd go see an Uncharted movie if it was look like it was good.
Yeah,
it wouldn't even have to have Nathan Fillion. I mean, let's be honest, he's too old. They'll never cast him.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
But that'd be cool. So what I would want to see personally?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, probably something like that, or a Tomb Raider that didn't suck.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, give me an Indiana Jones movie that isn't Indiana Jones and doesn't have, like, a 75-year-old in it. So either, like, Ex Machina Woman or Nathan Fillion punching people and, like, tombs and rocks and then bad guys. Like, have them shoot bad guys.
Yes.
I want bad guys, and they're like, we're bad. Okay, you're dead. You know, I don't want robots. I don't want aliens. I don't want also Russians. I'm sick of seeing Russians in, well, mostly in video games.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then if it was like, what would be a really good movie to make? I would say maybe Zelda.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like the millennials effing love Nintendo shit.
Yeah.
What would you like to see as a movie, video game?
I'd really like to see Mass Effect.
Oh.
That's like my favorite series of video games. So
is that popular enough?
Probably not. But like for me personally, that's what I would like to see them do. It's got a really, really good, strong story. You know, like there's a good universe there to take advantage of. So it's got the depth that Hollywood would be looking for, where it's like, oh, we don't want to just make one movie. We want to make three or whatever. You know, it's there
well,
to do it.
Well, maybe sci-fi will finally come back because we had Gravity, Interstellar, Martian, Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, the new movies that people seem to gravitate towards seem to be ones with that bent.
Yeah, so yeah.
I could get behind. I've never played Mass Effect, which I know just boggles people's minds. But
yeah,
you know, if there was a cool space movie, I'd go see it because I like space movies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, they got cool ships, and it's not just like a Star Wars retread or anything, but you've got like aliens and things, so you have the creature stuff. So
speaking of space, Call of Duty is going to space.
Didn't it already in that Ghost game?
I think there's just one scene in space.
Okay. Oh, but the new game is just all in space?
Do you think there's any guns on the ISS? I would
think not, but
that seems like kind of a waste. Because doesn't it cost like $20 million a pound to send something to space or something ridiculous?
Holy shit.
Wow. I don't know.
Something ridiculous, I'm sure.
But I mean, I could see why if you're going to go drill an asteroid, you probably want to bring some guns.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah, you have to.
Actually, you know, I could actually buy that. Like when New Shredder pulls the gun, I could see that. I could see the government putting a gun in there. Like, shoot anyone who doesn't save the planet.
Oh, that's a movie where that new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah. Like, is it worth watching?
Well, I haven't seen the new
it's
one.
It's on Amazon Prime.
But they're making a sequel that comes out this summer. And I'm like, because I haven't seen that new one that they made a couple of years ago. But I saw that, like, fucking, like, Bebop and Rocksteady are going to be in it. And Krang. And I saw a picture of Krang. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's like Krang. Exactly how he should look
I didn't see that. I saw the Rocksteady and Bebop. Let's take a look.
And I'm just like, oh, my God. If they actually do that, I almost have to go and see it. Yeah, there he is.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that looks like what, you know, a modern-day version of him compared to, you know, what he was in the comics and stuff, or in the cartoon, even.
Oh, this is him? Oh, he's going to fight these Ninja Turtles?
Yeah. But I was like, oh, my God. And then Bebop and Rocksteady, they look, you know, pretty good from the picture I saw at some point.
That movie was successful, the first one.
But I was like, oh man, I might have to go see that. Because I've heard from people it's
not that bad. I mean, it's on Amazon Prime. I guess I could just watch it. All it would cost me is 2 hours.
But I was just like, I can't believe they're actually doing that. I have to like give them money.
You know, that's probably why they're successful. Like, okay, here's what you want. Here's
I mean,
because remember, they didn't have Rocksteady and Bebop in the old movies.
No.
They had Tokor or Razor or whatever.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. It's like, I don't give a shit about, like, the Turtles just, like, beating up, like, bad guys in New York City. You know, like, muggers or whatever the hell they might do otherwise.
I want to see more muggers beat up. Like, did Batman beat up any muggers in Batman v Superman?
Not necessarily muggers, but he kicks the shit out of a lot of bad guys in a warehouse.
I know, but I'm sick of seeing all the, I mean, this could also segue into the video games and the war games. I'm sick of all these like military corporation bad guys, or I want to see like two scumbags pull a gun on a lady, take her purse, and then Batman beats him up. Like an old Batman. Like, isn't that what Batman's supposed to spend most of his time doing?
Actually, he kind of, the first time you see him, it's kind of like that, because he's in this house where there was somebody, I mean, it's not quite the same. Again, it's a bigger scheme, but there's like somebody that's doing, like, I don't know, sex trafficking or something like that.
Okay.
And so he is in there. I mean, it's not the same as just somebody stealing a purse, but it's also not some crime syndicate or whatever, you know.
I mean, that's the same thing we mentioned with Die Hard. It's like when these movies, the stakes get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you can no longer relate to what the heroes are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't relate to, you know, a magical fireball-throwing woman fighting a giant robot in a hovering city.
Yeah.
But I can understand someone getting their purse stolen.
Yeah.
It's these heroes need to come back down to Earth. Literally.
Yeah. Well, and there's stuff where, like, you know, you see, like in Batman, Superman, Superman saves somebody from a burning building, you know, and then there's, like, there's flooding in this one area, and he's saving people from their rooftop, and stuff. Which, I mean, I haven't been through a flood, but it's, you know, certainly more relatable than aliens coming through a wormhole in the sky and attacking a city. So
Marvel is veering dangerously close into just like toys in a sandbox.
You know what's funny in Civil War? I'm sure they didn't intend it this way, but there's the scene where Slick Willie Hurt shows up because he's awesome. And basically he's like, okay, you bastards need to get in line, you're going to sign this deal, whatever. It's basically the scene where they split. But he sets it all up by going, like, first there was the incident in New York. And so you just see, like, shit in the sky, blah, blah, blah. Then he's like, then there was the incident in Washington. Again, just big shit in the sky. And then the incident in Sokovia. And again, just a big pile of shit in the sky. And I'm like, are you paying attention, Marvel?
Like, all your movies end the same way.
Yeah, it's like...
yep, it's like a beam shoots into the sky, and then a bunch of shit comes out of the sky.
It's like, I laughed out loud when I saw that scene, because I'm just like, wow.
Right, and it's like, we've gotten so far from, like, no, here's Bruce Willis. He's crawling through a vent, and then he, like, lights a cigarette, and then he gets his feet cut.
Yeah. And then he's like crawling around with bloody feet and having to deal with that.
And people still remember and love that movie. Are they going to care about Captain America's Civil War 20 years from now?
Shit, no.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't feel real anymore. And that is a good segue into, like, part three.
Yeah.
Which would be these war video games.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the whole war video game genre kind of started with Medal of Honor on the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And actually, the disc is right over there. In the back, it says, fight the Nazis for the first time in World War II.
That's right. You showed that to me, I think, the last one or two times that we did the podcast.
And like, oh, my God, this is great. Because at the time, everything was like Doom, Quake, all these kind of fantasy shooters.
All this alien stuff, yeah.
And it's like, oh, cool, I'm shooting Nazis, and I got this gun that was a real gun, and blah, blah, blah. And then you had Call of Duty. And then in 2007... Call of Duty went to the modern day, and it was like, holy shit, it's a real war. They're in Afghanistan or something.
Yeah.
And it was pretty ballsy at the time.
Yeah, like Modern Warfare 1 was pretty good. So.
And at that time, you know, people were sick of World War I shooters.
Yeah.
But now we've had far more modern day shooters than we ever had World War II shooters. And I think people are getting sick of it.
Yeah.
And I think what happened with the reaction to the Call of Duty Infinite Warfare trailers, by going into space, people are like, oh, that's it.
Yep. It's the joke like we always have about movies where, you know, you make the sequels to the horror.
Once Leprechaun goes into space, you should just stop.
Yeah, you know, you should have stopped a while ago.
But then he went into space and then he went back to the hood.
That's true.
Yeah.
So sometimes you can't.
Where is me gold? Is it in space?
Did Jason never come back?
From space? Yeah, because he came back from space to fight Freddy Krueger.
Oh, that's right.
You know they're actually trying to make Freddy Krueger versus Jason versus Ash? I would see that.
I would have to think about it. At the very least. But
hey, how do you pick your nose with those things, huh?
Yeah.
He'd say shit like that. Nighty night. So
they go to space.
Yeah. So
like, what's going on? And are they fighting on the moon or like in a space
station? Maybe there's like
colonization.
I haven't. God, the last Call of Duty game I played was Modern Warfare 2.
2 would have been the last one for me.
Almost 7 years ago, and I guess, well, I got into, like, Bad Company, we all did, and that game was a lot more fun, I thought.
Yeah.
Especially with Call of Duty, but you see it with other games as well. You went from, like, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4, Call of Duty 4 colon Modern Warfare, what it was yeah. called. And, like, okay, it's kind of like the same thing with Marvel movies. Like, oh, here's Iron Man. He's in Afghanistan. Like, this is where he is. Mm-hmm. There's U.S. troops. And there's like, oh, the bad guys are in the caves. Yeah, this missile's going to get them out. Oh, I'm captured by them. This is what it's like. They've got my weapons. This sucks. You see people, you know, like the bad guys are like trying to take the people out of that town. Mm-hmm. And they're going to shoot the dad. Like, oh, this is the things that happen.
Yeah.
Iron Man comes in. He kills them. Yeah. He's like, yeah, it's power fantasy. It's like, here's mm-hmm. somebody doing shit for good.
Yes,
you can understand that stuff. But now you have like, with Marvel, you have like these flying spaceships and robots. It's like, I can't identify with this.
Yeah.
The same thing with these video game movies. You had something like Modern Warfare where you're like, oh, this, you know, this is like the news, you know, this feels real. But then you have like North Korea invading Africa and South America invading New York. And it's like a not a romantic comedy, a TV show. Like once all the characters have dated each other, it's time for the show to end.
Yeah.
And these war games, once every country has gone to war with every other country, there's no more combinations left. So I guess that's why they're going to space.
Yeah.
But then
you're not going to fight aliens in the new one, are you?
I don't know. Probably robots. I don't know. It's probably like Titanfall where it's like an empty universe. You know, there's no aliens.
Okay.
But then you have Battlefield, which is like, let's go back in time. Let's go to World War One, the Forgotten War.
And we're going
to
ride a horse.
And it seemed like people responded a lot, you know, more positively to that.
Oh, yeah.
But I think there's a lot of reasons for that because it feels more real. It feels tactile. Like, this is a war that actually happened.
Yeah. And I mean, that's always been my argument for the World War II games is that it's like, when you play those games, you know these are depicting events that actually occurred. There's like a weight to playing it that doesn't exist with these modern or even future games.
Yeah, and I'm not saying a video game needs to be a history lesson.
No.
Or that the war should be trivialized, but it's more interesting. Because like World War One, nobody talks about World War One. I mean, you're probably going to learn more things about World War One by playing this game than you would in, you know, public school.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it you know, it was important. It was the first time there was a, you know, a world conflict like that because of technology. And then it got even worse in World War II. But, yeah, I'd be curious, to see, what kind of weapons do they have? You know, are there radios? What can the planes do?
Yeah.
It's like instead of, like, drawing a spaceship that troops can jump out of, in this Battlefield 1, it's like, how do we make gameplay with these limitations or parameters?
Yes.
And that seems a lot more interesting to me.
That's kind of a core component, I think, of a lot of, creative endeavors, I think, is sometimes it's good to have a box to be in. You know, you don't want to be too limited, but at the same time, having no limits can be a problem as well.
Well, like we said with Die Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like now, you know, you have CG and all this stuff, you know, and even like with these games, you know, like what you're saying is like this future game. They can make up whatever shit they want and put it in it because there's no rules. But like when you go back 100 years in time,
you have to work with what was there.
Yeah, you can't have somebody with, you know, night vision or heat scopes and whatever the hell, like all this crap. You know, it's like none of that stuff fits. You know, you can't like curve bullets and stuff like that. You know, it's just...
there's no robot exoskeletons.
So it's... but yeah, it's just like... I don't know, like, when you play, we play that game, because I'll get it, because it's like, what the hell, it sounds interesting to me. But yeah, like, when you're in those trenches and things and that, because, you know, there's going to be trench warfare, because I was a huge component of it, you know, there's going to be a different feel to that compared to whatever the hell this future war game is, or even, like, these modern games they've been making.
But I think when you have something that was in the past... It's like, you know, obviously none of us were there, but it's kind of in our collective unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you've read about it in some form or another.
Yeah,
over
like
time.
This was real. This is based off something that happened. Yeah.
And you know, like, what came out of it. You know, like the things that transpired post these events and how these events influenced those things.
Yeah.
So it's...
I think that's why it resonates more with people. That and it's different.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, there's like those really epic moments. Like, I think I probably mentioned it on a previous podcast, but it's like, you know, in whatever Call of Duty game, you know, you're sitting there storming the Reichstag and stuff, you know, and you're like, holy shit, you know, this is like real people, like...
This
really
happened.
Did this.
Yeah. you have like the assault on Stalingrad or the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah.
Like these are real events. And, you know, reality, you can't. It's like watching House of Cards, its latest season.
Ugh. I still haven't watched it.
Yeah.
That show, like, jumped the shark a while ago. But
oh, it jumps the shark more. Like, his wife tries to be his VP.
Oh, God.
It's like, oh, come on. Ugh. But it's like, I watch that show and, like, you know. This show, they can't put anything on the show that's crazier than our current election season.
That is true.
And so real life is crazier or more interesting than anything you can come up with. It's like, you know, we're not gonna show the monster. We're going to let the audience imagine it because it's whatever they can imagine is scarier than what we can do. And it's that kind of thinking, but almost in reverse. Like some of the crap that, you know, would have happened. Like, the movie A Bridge Too Far.
Yeah.
That movie that the creator of Jurassic Park directed, Richard Attenborough.
Mm, yes. Yeah.
There is a scene in that movie. It was something like the guy goes across a river to like save a troop. Then he goes back and he goes back like three or four times. And it's based off a true story. But in the movie, they actually toned it down because they didn't think what the guy actually did would have even been believable.
Yeah.
So he was less heroic in the movie than in real life.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, there's a weight to it, you know, like, I don't know what other word to use.
Yeah. And it's, I think part of it's just like the emotional aspect of it. It's like, you know, deep down, you know, I think most of us, when we would play those games, you know, I hope anyway that, you know, you kind of have this inner reflection almost that happens where, you know, you kind of pause a bit and just think about like, yeah, this is stuff that really occurred. You know, it's like, yes, this is a video game depicting the events, but ultimately, you know, this is stuff that went on and, you know, that ultimately should affect you on some level emotionally. And I think that's why it has a greater impact is just because, you know, again, these things happened and you're in your own way getting to kind of experience them through... I don't want to say the person's eyes, but, you know, it's just like, it's the closest you're ever going to get in all likelihood to having any sort of connection to those events on a personal level.
Yeah.
Unless you actually, you know, lived it or knew somebody who did, you know, that told you stories from their time in war.
And then even now, like when they have... I don't know. I'm way behind on Call of Duty games, but
yeah, there's been three Black Ops games. Yeah. I think
the wars are always obviously they're fake wars, but
yeah,
they don't even sound realistic. Like ultra nationalist Russians. I'm so sick of fighting ultra nationalist Russians. and you know they're all politically correct as well.
Well,
you know,
of course.
Can't just say okay, it's World War III, America versus Russia versus China.
Yeah.
It's like, they don't have that in a game. That's probably what would happen if it did.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's the thing. It's like, we don't even want to imagine that could happen.
Yeah.
So it's like,
because it is too real.
Yeah. So at least a terrible war that's already happened. Well, it already happened. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid with a hair.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's over.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. So maybe it's like, let's go to space before we have like, you know, a future genocide or something in a game. And I don't know. I just think people like things that feel real.
Yeah, yeah, it's, and maybe part of that is, you know, we're not really getting that at the movies, as we talked about, you know,
yeah.
So it's like, maybe in these video games, you know, maybe we can get that, and, you know, it's, I mean, it's like, yes, you know, we want to escape at times, too, because, you know, sometimes life can have a lot going on, and you do want to just kind of zone out for a little bit, but there's also those times where you want to be, you know, connect with things and be moved on some level.
Yeah, I mean, if you have Iron Man like fighting terrorists who are being dickheads, it's like, oh, this feels real.
Yeah.
And like The Marvel movies kind of started that way. You know, Iron Man started very down to earth, and mm-hmm. you know, you can't get more real than like a war in Afghanistan.
Yeah. And Captain America was in World War II.
Yeah, again, they started off. But then, like with Captain America, he's like punching Nazis, but now he's punching Hydra.
Yeah. It's like,
I know I've said this a million times, but...
Well, and now he's punching other heroes.
Yeah, it's just, it goes from, it goes from like, oh, Captain America's fighting terrorists. I'm sorry, Captain America's fighting Nazis. Iron Man's fighting terrorists. Now they're fighting Hydra and robots. It's like, it's like when they make a cartoon of Rambo, and they can't have him like fighting who he would be fighting. They like sanitize it. Mm-hmm. It feels like the same kind of like 1980s cartoon toy sanitation,
yeah.
but in movies for, I guess, adults. And I'm not saying they should go around like, you know, demonizing other cultures and whatnot.
No.
But it's just doesn't. It feels fake. And the video games have the same problem. It's like, oh, I'm fighting a robot. I'm fighting a robot or. It's ultra national Zimbabweans
or nation. Yeah,
it's like pick a country, add ultra nationalists to it, and that's who you're fighting.
Well, that's just like in the Marvel movies. Like they invented a country called Sokovia. You know, it's obviously some like Eastern European type country, but they couldn't just say this is the Ukraine or whatever. You know, it's like they had to make up a country. And
so, where were they when the Hulk destroyed that? Was that South Africa when the Hulk smashed up that city?
Was that South Africa or were they like in Asia somewhere?
I want to say it was Africa.
It might have been. Oh, wait, it was because, it's in Wakanda because that's where Black Panther's from.
Oh!
Because that was how that was the first seed that let people know, like, so okay, Black Panther is.
Is it going to be like Batman v Superman where Black Panther sees the destruction of a city and he's like, I hate Iron Man? Actually, that's a valid point. I mean,.
It could work, but that's not
how... I don't know
how...
I would think Tony Stark would be financially liable for the damage caused in that scene.
Well, Black Panther actually teams up with Iron Man in Civil War.
Oh, okay. So my idea is... he's in that movie too, isn't he?
Yeah.
God. So, I would like to see the video games come kind of back down to earth. I'd like to see movies come back down to earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's why, Battlefield 1... It's like... It's in a way, it's... crazier than Call of Duty evolving into space is actually not that crazy.
You can see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, Battlefield, I think that's also like Battlefield was like, that's a pretty big leap of faith. And I think that's why people are resonating. It was like, wow, that's so crazy. I support this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, because I mean, they could have very easily just gone back to World War II. But instead they're like, nope, let's go to World War I.
I have a sneaky suspicion Call of Duty will reboot back to World War II.
Oh, I'm sure
at some
point.
And I'd like to see that because I imagine like the storming of Normandy Beach with like modern hardware and particle physics and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be very, very likely to buy that game if they made a World War II Call of Duty again.
Well, like this Infinite Warfare review, everyone's jizzing over the fact that if you get the collector's edition, it comes with a remaster of Call of Duty 4.
Really?
Yeah. So everyone's like, oh, the only way to get it is with Infinite Warfare and blah, blah, blah. Of course, that will be true for like only like 3 months, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I would like to see a Call of Duty reboot. Like Doom, I guess, is a reboot.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so yeah, I've been playing Doom. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
I got stuck last night because I got to a monster room and I just got my ass kicked. But yeah, Doom kind of reminds me, I think, of what Duke Nukem Forever wanted to be.
Yeah. Like that throwback type thing.
Because Doom... Oh, man. All right, so this will be our last thing to talk about here. So Doom was going to be Call of Doom. Like, they were making it into another Call of Duty clone.
Okay.
Doom 4. And I guess Bethesda looked at it and they're like, this is too much like Call of Duty. And they actually scrapped it, started over, basically. And now it's kind of like Doom.
Oh, so Bethesda's...
Bethesda owns id now.
Oh.
Yeah, they also...
I probably knew that at one time and forgot.
So, I mean, sometimes it's good to throw... You should throw the baby out with the bathwater sometimes.
Yep.
And, because if it was just a cover-based shooter, it's like, oh, God.
Yeah, how many of those do we need? It's like, if somebody wants one of those, they're going to go buy Call of Duty or Battlefield, like...
But again, it's like you're not fighting robots. You're not fighting Russian ultra-nationalists. You're fighting demons
and
possessed people and stuff. And it feels like Doom. And it's kind of fun. It's like most of these shooters is like you walk down a street and then you get shot. Oh, there was a sniper. I wonder where he was. The next time you play, like, oh, I got to look for that sniper, right?
Yeah.
In Doom, it's like, oh, look, there's a monster. He threw a fireball at me. I can dodge the fireball and then shoot him.
Yeah.
Like, it's more chance. About your skill than your ability to memorize where things are going to be.
Okay, yeah.
And that's why it's really fun.
Nice.
Because even, like, in the first Doom, you know how they're, like, those possessed sergeants that would shoot at you? Like, those guys are still there, but now they have plasma guns.
Okay.
And then, if you think about it, there's a good reason for that. Like, if he shoots you with a shotgun, you just get hit with the bullets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't dodge it.
Yeah.
But if you got this guy shooting a plasma gun with, like, plasma balls coming at you, it's like, oh, I can see him shooting at me. I can choose to dodge this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so nobody shoots at you with guns.
Okay.
It's all like fireballs, like demon balls, a lot of fireballs.
Maybe he ran out of shotgun shells and had to upgrade.
But it's fun because...
It's been 20 years.
You're shooting them with guns. But you can always see their projectiles coming, which makes you at least... I mean, it can be pretty tough, but like, oh, I can use my skill to dodge these.
Hmm.
There's no cover. And if you stay put for like 5 seconds, you're dead.
Okay.
Like you have to keep moving constantly. And it's really refreshing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need in the shooter space.
Hmm. Makes sense to me.
All right. Well, that has been the BenHeck.com podcast. Let us know in the comments below if you're even listening to this thing. And if there's topics you'd like to hear us talk about in the future. And you're probably going to say, stop talking about superhero movies.
Hey, we stopped talking. Well, I guess we briefly talked about Star Wars, so we did kind of stop beating that dead horse for a little while.
That's true. So, all right. We'll talk to you next time.
Adios.